Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 244, stanzas 2 and 4. Each succeeding generation at thy mighty word appears. Thou dost count in time's duration one day as a thousand years. Death, with swift and sudden warning, calls us from life's dream away. Like the grass, green in the morning, withered ere the close of day. Stanzas 2 and 4 of Psalter 244. scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Habakkuk, the third chapter. Habakkuk chapter 3. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of any thing that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy man servant nor thy maid servant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Habakkuk chapter 3. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known, in wrath remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. And thou woundedst the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Riley Rosendahl, who is scheduled for surgery this coming week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and long-suffering God of the heavens and of the earth, we try in this morning to draw nigh to thee. And Lord, give us then a right attitude. Bring us in the right place, because by nature, then we make thee as one of us. And we would approach unto thee, even as we approach unto one another, with no impression of thy greatness, of thy holiness, of thy majesty. But who is there like unto thee, among all the gods who are served in this world. They have no mouths to speak. They have eyes, but they see not. They have feet, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. But Lord, Thou art the living God. And though Thou art high, and that Thou dwellest between the cherubims, yet Thou lookest upon the lowly, and Thou humblest Thyself to behold the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth. And then there is no one amongst us or our children that is outside of Thy eternal thought, Thy eternal knowledge, Thy omniscience, but also Thine omnipotence, Thy power. Oh, then we are in the way of a grace helpless. For we can do nothing concerning our own salvation. Lord, we gather together this morning in Thy house. When Thou hast given us Thy word, in which is proclaimed what we have, how we have been created, how that we have fallen, and how that Thou hast made a way, and that it is possible to return, and how that Thou swearest with an oath that Thou wilt bring Thy people to Thyself, and that Thou hast made a covenant that is so sure and that can never be broken or disannulled by anything that Thy children can do. Lord, Thou art faithful unto Thyself. What Thou hast spoken between Thee and Thine only begotten Son in that never begun eternity. And we can read in Thy word how that He has fulfilled His part, that He was so willing to come and to leave His present glory, to descend to this sin-cursed earth, and to bring Himself, to place Himself under the law, and to suffer, and to die that cursed death, to fulfill that whole law in an active way, and to thereby bring in the salvation of His church, Lord. Oh, it was the part of Thine only begotten Son. And now what wait we for? Our hope is in Thee, because Thou also hadst a part. Lord, hast Thou not promised Him then a seed that should serve Him? Oh, that that may also be fulfilled amongst us and amongst our dear children. Oh, that seed now has to be brought in, and it will be taken amongst from amongst men. It will be taken from amongst the dead in sins and in trespasses, from amongst those who have no desire after Thee, and that go on in this world in the service of sin, in the service of Satan, in the service of the world and all that is vain and passing away. All from that people who have fallen away, from that people who have rebelled against Thee and who have no desire for the knowledge of Thy ways, Thou wilt take Thy church. For there are among them, yet in our days, still those who are lying under that seal of election, Lord, may it be also amongst us, and that a day that are yet unconverted, a day it may be converted. Oh, wilt thou bind upon our hearts then this day the seriousness of our life and what we have done in thy sight and against thee, that thou would give that true love for thee in our heart, that we may begin to grieve, that we may begin to mourn that we have sinned against thee, and that our whole life that is nothing but one continual abomination in thy sight. Lord, open our eyes to reality, that we may be given to see it, and that we may receive not only the knowledge of sin, but the grief for sin, the compunction for sin, and that it may humble us in the dust, and that we may become in ourselves worthy of thy judgments, that thou wouldest cast us away forever, and that we may come in all our guilt, but also that we may see that we are without strength, and that we are not able anymore to come into thy communion. Oh, then we will need a Savior. Then we will need a Redeemer. Then we will need a surety for our soul. Oh, Lord, that our eyes may be directed unto thee, for that salvation that we cannot take and that we have no desire for, but which thou wilt bestow in thy mercy, in thy grace. Oh, we beseech thee on this thy holy day, the day that thou hast set aside for this purpose, that thou would fulfill it also this day, that many may be converted unto thee. Oh, that thy Spirit may come amongst us, and that he may have dealings with us and with our dear children, and that closed eyes may go opened, that closed ears may begin to hear, and that hard hearts may be broken, and that there may come a true contrition, a true sorrow, a true repentance before thee. O Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Remember us then this day also with thine own children, for they also have so many riddles, so many questions concerning their own life. Oh, 'tis the point they long to know. Am I his or am I not? Wilt thou then be pleased in this thy holy day to visit thy people and to give instruction in that spiritual way? Oh, that they may receive also a place, even as Mary did receive, to sit at thy feet and to hear thy words, and that we could be yet a little instrument, a little clay, in thy holy fingers for that purpose, as thou hast commanded thy disciples, give ye them to eat. And when, Lord, they had nothing, then thou didst provide everything. Lord, look on us then in mercy, be with all afflicted ones. Remember in a special way that little child that must go into the hospital in this coming week. Lord, it was postponed to this time, and now wilt thou make it well? Wilt thou go before, or wilt thou strengthen the doctors? Give them wisdom, give them skill in such circumstances that they will be in this week to come to operate on this child. Oh, could it please thee to spare his life and to remember him in mercy, strengthen the parents, Give them a place at thy footstool. Teach them, Lord, to pray, and all of us to pray. And then look upon his soul. Lord, wilt thou look on all the afflicted ones, all widows, widowers, and orphans, in the needs and the cares, in the concerns, in the sorrows, in the missing, in all the difficulties of the misery of this life. Wilt thou be near, and wilt thou bring to thyself in mercy? And Lord, wilt thou go before all those that need thee in special ways, those that have crosses in this world, of which the world is so full. But may it be that there are those in our midst that carry another cross, because all the things in this world are passing away, also the troubles, they will one day be gone. That all that we have to bear in this life, the crosses. But Lord, oh, then give us to become burdened with the need of our souls. May it be especially this day. Oh, look upon the youth, the children, boys and girls, the young people in school, in college, in universities, in whatever education that they might receive, or at work in the labor in this world. Lord, and before them are the prospects of a life in this world. But wilt thou show to them that this life that is passing away, and wilt thou give them to seek another life? Could it be that in this very day that thou would cause that holy jealousy to be born in their heart that will never die? That life that will never die, that because it is an eternal life. Help us then. Help us to bring thy word. Lord, open it. Of ourselves we have nothing. And thou knowest that we thought not to bring this word. But Lord, thou hast laid it on us. And may it then be for a purpose. Then what was not our purpose, O thou dost say, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And may it be proven in this morning. Lord, could thou use it yet in this morning for this one or for that one? And that thou would in this way show that thou art in our midst and that thou dost bless us. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 415, stanzas 2, 6, and 10. 415, 2, 6, and 10. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided, clearly I thy paths may see. In thy truth wilt thou me guide. Teach me, God of my salvation, all the day for thee I bide. Lord, with eager expectation. We announced that the extra collection at the last song today is for the disaster fund. Psalter 415, stanzas 2, 6, and 10. Thank you. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour you can find in the portion of God's Word that was read to you, Habakkuk chapter 3, and then part of verse 16, these words, "And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble." So far the words of our text. And then our theme is Habakkuk trembles for rest in the day of trouble. First, the cause of this trembling, and second, the fruit of this trembling. Habakkuk trembles for rest in the day of trouble. First, the cause of this trembling, and second, the fruit of this trembling. "When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself when I heard." What a blessing that is, congregation, that we may be able to hear. There are people that cannot hear. They live, boys and girls, in that silent world. We cannot imagine what that must be, an awful thing. We also know that when we become older, then oftentimes then our hearing is diminishing. David wanted to take old Barzillai with him, but he says, "I am now 80 years old, and I cannot enjoy things as I did when I was young. Can I enjoy the voice of singing men and singing women?" Then that hearing that is diminishing. And yet that hearing that is such an important thing. And why? Because hearing is the very means that the Lord has given to administer the salvation of His church. Faith, we read, that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Does that mean, boys and girls, that when a person is deaf, that they cannot be converted? What do you think? Oh, then I think you say no. No, the Lord, He is almighty. The Lord, He is all-powerful. And the Lord, He can work in the heart of a person that is deaf also, and that is very true, then you are right. And yet, the normal way, young people, that is through the hearing, not through the sight, that man wants to use today with so many things, when he has the entertainments of the world, and so much is brought into the heart of man through the eye. The Lord has not chosen this way through the eye for the conversion of His church. But He has chosen that way that is through the ear. And we hope that you will never despise this way that the Lord Himself has chosen. But there are those, of course, who never hear. Those who never hear the word of God. And then they miss the very means that the Lord uses to convert His people. Is that not something? That is not only people that are so far away from us. No, there are people that are living in our own neighborhoods and that have never read the Holy Word of God. And may those people far away, but also those people that are near and that miss those means, be laid more and more upon your heart and upon my heart. We may hear. And thus we have a great privilege that is in hearing. And yet we know that we need so much more than just this outward privilege of hearing. And why is that we need so much more? Well, you have all heard so much. We have heard, most of us, that word from our very youth. And now we have a question this morning. That is this: have you ever received faith? Because faith cometh by hearing. Have you ever received faith by that hearing? Thus, our question is not, have you received some understanding in the Word of God? Have you received some enlightenment in your mind of that Word of God? Have you received some satisfaction when you may learn something about what that Word of God is speaking of, because it is such a mystery? And then there can be a desire in our heart. We enjoy learning, but that is not our question. Our question is this: faith cometh by hearing. Thus, have you ever received faith by your hearing? That through that hearing that you have begun to believe. Say, how do I know that? If I have received faith by my hearing. We read here, Habakkuk, he says, I trembled in myself. That trembling, that is evidence of faith. That is, in his heart, that there was unrest when he heard. And what did he hear? We have heard that he heard from the Lord that something was going to happen. You know that now, boys and girls, right? What was Habakkuk prophesying about? That was about the future and what was coming for the children of Israel. They were the judgments of the Lord. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Thus Habakkuk has heard from the Lord that message that the enemy is going to come. And that enemy was going to come into the land of Israel, and they were going to come with mighty troops. They were going to lay that land waste. And Habakkuk, he says, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself. Thus, that concerned his whole being, that he begins to tremble, his belly, his lips, his bones. He says, myself. Then he was affected so greatly with that message that he heard. Thus, it was not just a mere notion. It was not just a doctrine in his mind, something that was a head knowledge, no. But he felt the power of this word in his whole body, he says. It affected him. It moved him. And now it is that trembling that is taking place in the body of this man, Habakkuk, that is the evidence of that faith. It is by that trembling that we may know that Habakkuk believed what the Lord had spoken. Thus, it came out in the fruits, the faith. that was really true, that there was going to be an enemy coming soon in the future in the land of Israel. How do we know that that is evidence of faith? Well, when he had not believed the congregation, then he would not tremble. Can you make yourself to tremble? Can you make your belly to tremble and your lips to quiver and rottenness to enter into your bones? That is, as if your whole body that was struck by that message and a trembling in yourself? No, that is evidence that message that has entered into his heart and that he believed truly that it was coming. The sons-in-law of Lot also heard a message. They heard that that city was going to be destroyed. Did they tremble? No. Why did they not tremble? Because they did not believe it. Their hearing that produced no faith. And they looked at their father-in-law and they thought he was just mocking with them. Thus trembling. That is the evidence of faith. Now trembling, that is not an evidence of faith always. Trembling is not an evidence of faith when those judgments are already coming, when we can see already the first judgments beginning to come. And then we begin to tremble. That is not an evidence of faith. No, that is what every one of us will begin to do when those judgments are actually coming. We read about King Saul in the end of his life, that he also trembled. Why did he tremble? Because he saw that the host, we read, of those Philistines. Oh yes. Oh yes. Then he saw that the judgments were coming. And then he began to tremble. We read it of that heathen king Belshazzar, that he saw that hand and that writing on the wall. And we read that his loins were loosened and that his knees, they are smiting together. Then that man also began to tremble. But that was no evidence of faith, no. Because he didn't need faith at that moment. No, because he saw those judgments, they are already coming upon him. But now before that those judgments appear, before we can see anything of those judgments, before we can see anything of the very first ones, and we only hear that message, that those judgments are coming. And then we already begin to tremble in ourselves. What is that evidence of? That is evidence of faith. That is evidence that we believe that message. Oh, by nature we are full of unbelief. Noah preached for 120 years. That same message, what did he preach? He says, the judgments of the Lord, they are coming. And the Lord, he is going to destroy this world because of its sin. Oh, then he began to build that ark for 120 years that was before those people. There was congregation, not one. Not one of all those people that desired and that came into that ark. Why not? can tell me now, boys and girls. You can tell me now, young people. Why not? They did not believe it. They heard, yes. But they did not believe. And there was nothing that could take away the rest that was in the heart of those people. I trembled in myself. The world congregation cannot understand why God's people tremble. They cannot understand why God's people do not take their ease. Why God's people, why they don't eat and drink and enjoy themselves in this world. Maybe you cannot understand it either, young people. Pilgrim's relatives, they said, "We will put him to bed. And then a little bit of sleep. That might make him more settled." But congregation, what does the Lord plant in regeneration? Faith. Faith. And then sleep does not take away faith. No, that might settle the emotion, but it does not take away faith. And therefore, what do we read Bunyan says of that man? He says that the night was even as the day. Then that man, he was trembling. And what is the object of that faith in that time of regeneration when the Lord is planting that faith in the heart of his people? What is that faith grasping onto? That is not in the first place the Lord Jesus Christ. No, if that was so, then there would never be a trembling. But that faith that is going out onto that word of God himself. Oh, the Lord will buy that faith. He will make room for the Lord Jesus Christ, yes. But that faith, in its beginnings, that has a different object. You say, is that then saving faith? Oh, yes. That is not experienced as saving in the beginning. No. No. Then a man, he begins to tremble. Then he does not see that he is saved. No, he sees that he is unsaved. But that same faith that makes that man, that boy, that girl, that father, that mother to tremble, that same faith will make that one later to rejoice. Only now it has a different object. And what is that? That is God. That is his word. That I am outside of that true people of God. That I am a transgressor against every one of those commandments of the Lord. And therefore the judgments of the Lord are due unto me. Then it is not a people who begin to rejoice now. Then it is a people who congregation, they begin to tremble. And I trembled in myself when I heard. Thus, what made him tremble? Faith. The world mocks at the threatenings of the Lord. Why? Unbelief. The congregation, the king of Nineveh, did not mock. No, he did not mock. He began to tremble. And why did he begin to tremble? We read that the men of that city, they believed the word of the Lord. They believed it. And that faith that brought forth something in their life. What was it? That is in our second thought. The fruit of this trembling. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. Thus Habakkuk, he speaks here about rest. What is that rest? That is to be settled. That is to repose. That I am quiet. That I am not afraid of evil. Then I have rest. We all like rest. And in a natural way, in this world, then there are different times. There are different seasons in the world. There are times of war. And there are times of peace. There are times of tribulation and affliction. And there are times of prosperity. Now, how is that? When there are times of peace and prosperity, then those are times of rest. Then we may be settled. Then we may live quietly from fear of evil. But when there is a time of war, when there is a time of adversity, that is a time of not rest, but unrest. That is a time of fear. That is a time of concern. That is a time of anxiety. That is a time that men, they are trembling. How was it then in that day that Habakkuk was prophesying in the land of Israel? Was that a time of war or was that a time of peace? That was not a time of war. No, that was a time of peace. The prophecy of Habakkuk, that was a prophecy that was concerning what was coming. So it was concerning something that was in the future. Thus, it is a time of peace. And in a time of peace, then naturally, then we are at rest. Then there is not an immediate danger. Thus, Habakkuk also here, then he ought to have been at rest. But what do we read here instead? We read here that Habakkuk, he is trembling. Thus, it is a time of peace, but Habakkuk has an awful trembling and unrest in his heart. In that time of peace. And why? Well, he says that I might rest in the day of trouble. Thus, he is looking forward to that future time when that day of trouble was going to come. And that is a day when there is unrest. And what does Habakkuk want in that day of unrest? He wants rest. That I might rest in the day of trouble. Thus, he seeks rest in a time that is normally a time of unrest. Do you understand it? So there is here a reversal. Habakkuk, he has relinquished his present rest. He has relinquished his present rest that he might seek what? That he might seek a future rest. And what is that? That is the fruit of faith. That is the fruit of believing that word of the Lord, what was going to come in the future. And that is now the way of the true church. I will mention John Bunyan once again. Boys and girls, maybe you can find a place when you come home. Then that pilgrim is instructed by the Holy Spirit interpreter, and he shows him two boys. Their names are Passion and Patience. And what do we read? Passion, he wants everything now. All the toys, all the gifts, all the good things, he wants them now. And then we see Patience. Then he does not demand everything now, all those nice things, but he is ready to wait. Do you hear how that Bunyan, he is taking that out of the holy word of God and out of the experience of that true church? And I trembled in myself, that is, now, that I might rest in the day of trouble. Nineveh had 40 days. They had 40 days before that those judgments were going to come. Now, what would we say? Now, Nineveh, you have yet 40 days to rest. 40 days until that those judgments are going to come upon you. You can have rest yet. You can have peace yet for those 40 days. Congregation, is that not the way of our natural heart? Then we say, take your rest now. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Why? Because tomorrow we die. 40 days. But even a natural faith has caused that city of Nineveh to do what? To give up their present rest. To give up their rest for those 40 days. Why? That they might seek a rest in the day of trouble. A future rest. They gave up all their luxuries. They gave up the very necessities. They gave up their food, their drink. They gave up their nice clothing. And they put on sackcloth and ashes for those 40 days. Why? They believed. They believed that message that the Lord sent through his servant. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. Who had rest, congregation, in the day of trouble? Egypt. They had rest. In the days of what? In the days of famine. 7 long years. Was that not a day of trouble? But it was a country that had rest. How? How did that rest come about? Well, that king, he believed what the Lord showed him in that dream. He believed it. Could he see anything of it? No. Nothing. But he believed it. And because he believed it, then he sets Joseph to work. To do what? To prepare. When? That was in a day of peace. It was in a day of prosperity. Then the whole rest of the world that is taking their ease, but not in Egypt. No, then there was a day of a great abundance, and they were not taking their ease in that abundance. No, they were working. And they were working very, very diligently, and always they were looking to what was coming. 7 years, 6 years, 5 years, four. Always working, looking toward the day of trouble. And when the whole world was starving, when that whole world is in an awful famine, then there was food in Egypt. Rest in the day of trouble. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. Congregation, do we ever think about what this life is? It is, congregation, a time. It is a day of preparation. For what? Eternity. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? We are so wise in so many things that are in this world. And we are preparing for our vacations, for our future here below, young people, in an education, university, college, job, all good. We prepare. And maybe the nation says, well, maybe there will be an enemy, so we need to have an army. We need to have a defense system. Why, congregation, do we not prepare for eternity? Why not? Is that not simple? We don't believe it. We don't believe it. We lack faith. We are unbelievers. Even Lot lingered. What was the mercy of God? Oh, in his mercy, he brought him forth and he set him outside of that city. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. We read of Noah that he was moved with fear. That is, at the word of the Lord. That is, when he heard it. There was not a slavish fear. Because what does slavish fear do? That paralyzes a person. And you can't do anything anymore. And that is that fear that is coming upon men once the judgments, they are coming. Then Saul, he is laying paralyzed all along upon the earth. But we read of this in the Bible. When Noah was moved with fear, actually, it says that he stood in awe. He stood in awe. That is, to act in a cautious way. To do what? To prepare. To prepare for a day of trouble. To build an ark to the saving of his house. And in that day of prosperity, when the whole world around Noah that was taking their ease, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, and they were giving in marriage. What is Noah doing? He is preparing. He is laboring is giving up what everyone else did not want to give up. That is their present rest. Their present rest. And he gave it up. And he trembled at that word of the Lord and that work of Noah that was evidence of what? His faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. How was that? How was that after that 120 years? When that day of trouble came, and when the earth let out its water, and the great fountains of the deep were broken up, oh, then there was a day of trouble. Can you imagine that, young people, boys and girls, those people, and then in that day, how they have looked at that ark? Oh, how they have called unto Noah in that day of trouble. Noah, in that day, had a day of rest. Rest in the day of trouble. And the people who would not give up their rest for those 120 years, then they trembled. Then they trembled. But it was too late. Let us sing. Psalter 255, 3 and 4. To the Lord, such might revealing, let us come with reverence meet. And before our Maker kneeling, let us worship at His feet. He is our own God and leads us. We the people of His care. With a shepherd's hand He feeds us as His flock in pastures fair. 3 and 4 of Psalter 255. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. Congregation, how much of our present rest are we willing to forfeit that we might seek for rest in the day of trouble? Is it too much? Is it too much to consider spiritual things? Is it too much to have more than a form of religion? Is it too much to have more than a religion which is, yeah, maybe just a Sabbath day religion? We have such a nice custom when we meet one another that we are asking one another, how are you doing? And what is our common answer? I am doing fine. I am doing fine. Congregation, is that always so? That I am doing fine? Is it not actually too much so? Oh, it will not be well if our whole life that we are doing fine, then it will not be well if we've never trembled because the Lord's judgments are coming, are coming, are coming. We are not going to begin to prophesy about the things that are going to be coming in this world. But we know there is to be a great tribulation. And even that, congregation, when if we are not alive and our children are not alive in that great tribulation, still one thing is sure, we have to die and we have to meet God. And so, how will that be for you and for me? Will that not be for us a day of trouble? Do we believe that? That we have to die? Actually, I don't need to ask you that question. Because the Bible tells what the answer is, that is no. We don't believe it. And our fellow man can die, 30 years old, and we still don't believe it. The Lord says in His Word that we are like the beast that perish. We have no understanding. We have an inward thought. We have an inward thought. And what is that thought? That our houses, they shall continue forever. And our dwelling place, that shall be to all generations. That is our inward thought. We do not believe that the judgments of the Lord are coming. Israel, they said to the prophets, prophesy unto us smooth things. Don't take away our rest. Felix says to Paul, he says, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Congregation, if that season is not today, in all our prosperity, when is it? When will that convenient season be? Oh, if we could but take away our rest, our rest. In a time that we have so many comforts and so many conveniences in this world, and I tremble in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. Young people, how many earthly enjoyments are you willing to forfeit, to give up, that you might have rest in that day of trouble? You say, I'm only young once. I know that. Then you want to enjoy the world. I warn you of something. I was your age yesterday. Yesterday. And so were those who are the oldest ones in our midst. Oh, we think we have a long time and it goes by in one moment. Oh, we don't have a long time. We have a short time. That is what the Bible says. It is in hand breadth, a short time. When the Lord would say to us, yet 40 days, oh, would today yet be then a convenient time? Ruth was not so old either. She left all her conveniences. She left an easy life. She left a life full of prospects, the life that she may have a family again, a husband again, which she could not have, it was told her, in that land of Israel. She left it all. You say, I cannot convert myself. No, that is true. Oh, that is so true. And I hope that we may preach that to the day of our death, that you cannot convert yourself. But congregation, oh, we use it so as an excuse. The king of Nineveh did not say that to his people. Yeah, if it's going to be destroyed, it's going to be destroyed. We cannot do anything about it. That was not his way. We cannot convert ourselves. That doesn't mean that we have no work to do. We are not like the bench. We are not like the stocks or the stones, no. We are a rational creature. We have hands to fold. We have knees to bend. We have a word of God to read and to search. And we have so many good books wherein are explained what that spiritual life of God's people is. And then the Lord also gives his promise. Those that seek me early shall find me. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. There are days of trouble already in this world. And there are those in our midst that have to experience what those days of trouble are. They are going to come for every one of us. Every house that is going to have its own cross. Some receive news they have an awful, incurable disease. Or is that not a day of trouble? And how, we ask you, when you have heard news as this, or we ask you how your thoughts don't all change in that moment. Your thoughts about the world, your thoughts about your family, your thoughts about what is important and what is not important. And then suddenly you come to that realization that I don't have what I need to die. Congregation, do we trouble ourselves in a day of prosperity to seek rest in the day of trouble? Or did I ever tell you what Reverend Kite said in his day of trouble at the end of his life, when he was having a hard time breathing anymore? Then he said, I am glad that what had to take place has taken place already. Because the day of trouble, that is not the day to begin looking for that rest. Congregation, do we ever consider now what that means to die and to stand before God? Will there not be a day of trouble? When we said to you, you had to stand now this week before an earthly judge, and laid before you is a case. You have done so and so. What would you do? When you would think about giving answer, you say, yes, I am guilty. How do I go before that judge? What would you do? Would you not seek rest? When it was Wednesday, what would you do on Monday and Tuesday? When you could be resting. Oh, you say, then I call a lawyer. You call a lawyer. Oh, do we ever really consider what it will be when we die and to stand before God? Do we ever really consider what will be laid before us in that day? That holy law of God and the transgression of our whole life and our whole heart. The transgression of that law, but also the transgression of the gospel. Because that has also been laid before us our whole life. And the Father, he says, I have sent my Son into the world. Why? To seek and to save that which is lost. And what do we say? We don't need him. Or do you need him? Do you need him? By nature, we do not need him. And if it stays that way, congregation, our whole life, oh, what shall it be? What kind of an answer will we give on that last day of days? When the Father will say that I have sent him and you didn't need him. How will we answer? Not one word we will have to 1,000 questions. Oh, and I trembled in myself that I might have rest in the day of trouble. Oh, what is that rest? What is that rest that there is to be had in that day of trouble when we have to stand before God? There is congregation to have a surety. A surety. When you and I may have one to go for us and to speak for us, to give an answer for us. And we may have one that may bring his own blood shed upon the cursed tree. Oh, then we will have rest in that day of trouble. What is rest in that day of trouble? Oh, that is to see the satisfaction of the Father in that mediatorial work of Christ. For me, and to hear the voice of God saying, deliver him from going down into the pit, for I have found a ransom. Oh, what is rest on that day of trouble? That is to be placed on with the blessed on the right hand, and to hear, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you. from the foundation of the world. That is rest. That is rest in that day of trouble. Oh, how much. How much of our present rest are we willing to forfeit that we might have rest in that day of trouble? People of the Lord, the Lord speaks about a people who are settled upon their lees, that are not emptied from vessel unto vessel. How is it in your life? You say there is this, there is that. I cannot deny that the Lord has had dealings with me in my life. That may be. But isn't it also that you seek rest in a beginning? Can you die with it? Can you appear before God with it? Or can you do less with the knowledge of the forgiveness of your sin and with that assurance that belongs unto that true church of God? Can you do less with that? Naomi, Ruth, experienced much about Boaz. She heard his voice. She received from him gifts. And after all that, do you know what Naomi said to her? She says, "Shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" And then what did she seek for her? Oh, she sought that she might be married, to be married to that Boaz. Not only that she would hear kind words, no. Not only that she may receive precious gifts, but that she may become his wife. His wife. May the Lord give you no rest, no rest, until you may hear it from his mouth, "I am married unto you." Because then indeed we know that we are not our own, but that we belong unto our faithful Savior Jesus Christ, which is the only comfort in life and in death. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, grant us that true faith, all to believe it, Lord. We cannot believe it of ourselves. We are foolish and we are unbelievers, but wilt thou plant a true faith that we might believe that we have to die, and that we might believe that the judgments are coming, that it might make us to tremble in a day of rest, that we might seek rest in a day of trouble. Bless, Lord, thy word. Forgive our sins. Bring us with desire to thy house in this afternoon again. Help us in preaching and in hearing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 421, stanzas 3 and 6. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. Though passing through a vale of tears, thy grace, O God, to him appears. With winged hope and power impelling, the wilderness by showers blessed is now a pilgrim's vale of rest. 3 and 6 of 421. Thank you. The blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.